case of the various...
And welcome to Encourage Radio. And today we are jumping right into it. We are talking about encouragement. It was kind of funny in the beginning. We were like, who's going to open? And so, yeah, you kind of need to encourage each other on who is the opener. We're like, all right, Jacob, is it you? Is it me? Or is it Pastor Ron?
We needed encouragement to talk about encouragement.
Yeah. Kind of sound like Jordan.
Oh!
The lead-in.
If y'all listen to Front Sight, yes.
Yes.
Wow, you're Jordan.
I listen to Front Sight.
You're Jordan 2.0?
Jordan, you know what? I giggle walking around the neighborhood for the first 10 minutes of the episode until I find out kind of like where we're going. So he always tends to tie it in right there with the bow on it.
He does.
Once I get about halfway around the block.
He does. He does.
Yes.
So, you know, encouragement. One of the many reasons why we call this Encourage Radio is because it's part of Encourage Media. And the reason why it's spelled with an I-N is it's based off of Joshua 1, 8, and 9, where God calls us to be strong and courageous. He's literally telling us to be in courage, like I-N. And so that's why. And I thought, you know, after listening, you know, Raina, you and I, we talk with a lot of folks, obviously more couples, more couples than, if you will, and everybody's in need of massive amounts of encouragement. And it just seems like in the moment, the problems are so overwhelming, almost like this isn't going to work out. Like, I don't know how this is going to happen. Like, whatever it is, paying the bills, getting a job, working through the situation, the dilemma we are in with the kids, you know, if they're senior adults, like the health, the obstacles, the things. I just don't know. Like, there's just so many people that are in need of encouragement. And often I think we forget just how powerful and how simple it is. And so I think we need to sort of step back and learn from that. Don't you hear a lot of moms and husbands and marriages, Raina, that are just struggling in that area, just for each of them needing encouragement?
Yes, and I think it has to do with this as well. It may not be. I don't know. I know on Instagram, on Facebook, other platforms in the world, sarcasm has become such a part of what we watch, what we see, and things like that. And I believe that encouragement, just those power of, you know, positive words, not necessarily to gain something in return.
Right.
But to know that it is okay to encourage someone.
Right.
But I also know it can be draining sometimes when you're trying to encourage someone and they just still come back with how bad the day is.
Right. Yeah.
And then you press in again and you're like, but this is going to get. And then it comes back with how bad something else is.
Yeah, no matter how much you try to encourage, it still just is
Yeah, so it's. I think it's harder to have that script flipped,
right?
In our minds, and so I think encouragement plays both sides,
right?
That as we encourage, we need to also realize that someone else isn't always going to be able to fill our tanks completely.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. And when you said it, you know, it works both ways. The power of encouragement, this is sort of cut to the end, but so you'll know, the power of encouragement is if one of us takes the initiative to start, we actually flip the script.
Yes.
And sometimes you just keep going. But yes, there are going to be those times when some people are just, they're just continue to be, you know, negative.
Mm-hmm.
My day's worse than your day. But we can turn this around. But nonetheless, the Bible has called you and I to speak encouragement. I want to give you one powerful verse. There are many. One powerful verse and then sort of a statement that is guided in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians and the VeggieTales say it, Thessalopians. But Thessalonians is really a book where Paul is writing to encourage Christians. Now, to cut it short, here's a simple message. When Jesus said, "I'm coming back," they went ahead and packed their bags, proverbially speaking. Mm-hmm. Like they thought, oh, he's going to come back tomorrow or this weekend or Friday. And Paul was like, we have no idea when. Yes, we are to be ready, but we still must keep doing these things. And in the end, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he says, encourage one another with these words. Mm-hmm. You know, and the words that he wrote was basically stay focused. But listen to this verse, Hebrews 3, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Now listen, please listen, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Wow.
The lack of encouragement in someone else's life will allow sin's deceitfulness to step in. The very thing that as you're wanting to encourage, but you hold back because you say they don't listen, it'll turn out like this, it'll be Eeyore. Like all of those reasonings, that's playing both ways. That's the devil telling you a lie, and that's allowing you, by not speaking encouragement, to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But by you not giving encouragement actually opens the door for your spouse to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Wow.
That is such a powerful verse. Mm. That's the power of encouragement. Yeah. And that's what we want to talk about. Like, it's so important that the Bible records, it's so important that it wasn't merely recommended by God, it was commanded by God. Mm. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Now I know why they say Thessalopians. It's easier to say that. But encouragement is so important to the church, to the Christian, to the believer, to the individual, to the marriage, to children, that it's not just recommended. Like you guys might want to do this. No, it's commanded, which is why, listen, if it's something that's commanded, you know the devil's going to step in and try to dissuade you from it.
Hmm.
So if you're the one that wants and knows you need to speak encouragement, it's going to pop up in your head. They don't need it. They're already getting enough of it. They won't listen. It's going to turn out negative, or it's just going to go where I don't want it to go. You need to fight against that, yeah. Okay? To the person that receives it or needing to receive it, if they're not, the Bible knows that's when the devil can step in. I mean, that is such a powerful verse, Hebrews 3:13. So why do we need encouragement? Well, the Bible tells us this. Listen, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Mm. You will have trouble. Yeah. You're going to wake up and somebody's going to say something mean. The day's not going to go as you planned. The interview's not going to turn out well. The job's not going to get finished. The kids aren't going to respond the way you're going to have trouble. But this is what he says. He finishes with the verse, which is John 16. In the world, you will have trouble. But he gives us encouragement. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Like, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome it. So he tells you and I, we need it because we live in a fallen world. I mean, our bodies break down, our plans fall apart, dreams can die, our will, our determination is weakened. Sound really negative right now. Mm. But you know what I mean? That's why, because the Bible is telling you that it's all of these things, that we live in a world that is broken. That is why the power of encouragement is so necessary, so the heart doesn't become hardened in a world that's already fallen.
So what would you say to that person that was like, I have no one of encouragement around me?
Oh.
How do you encourage yourself?
Wow. Okay, first and foremost, that's a great question. First and foremost, your encouragement has to come from the Lord. So as you said earlier, there is no one person that can provide all the encouragement that you need. Mm. Now, people are put into your life to provide moments of encouragement, and necessary spouse, friend, mentor, somebody even unknown that just you're in the grocery store and just somebody says something to you like, I really like your hair, or I really like those jeans, or whatever, you know, that little moment of something. So it can come from a lot of sources. So the very first thing we have to say is find your strength from the Lord, which is why I quoted John 16, was because Jesus said, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Like, first and foremost, that's the person that you should seek. But then you honestly have to learn how to be honest and just wave the red flag sometimes and just say, I just need to let you know I'm in need of encouragement. And because I know I'm in need of it, if I don't receive it, I don't want to open myself up to the attack of the enemy. And so sometimes you have to be vulnerable. And then you may have to be very, very specific in where you need. Because remember, people can't read minds. So you may have to say, like, I need encouragement because tomorrow I have a presentation at work and I just don't feel like I feel so insecure. Or I messed up today at the job and I said something and I think I ruined my testimony. Like, whatever. Like, I just need somebody either to listen, to spend time with me, to validate, so forth. So you have to learn to open up, because a lot of times what happens is we assume that people know how we feel, and then when we come home and they don't know how we feel, then we get upset. Like, you should know I had a bad day. You know, sometimes yes, sometimes not, but not always. So when we don't give encouragement, some things creep in. Okay, so I want to show you what is the opposite of encouragement. Now, if I were to ask you, what is the opposite of encouragement? The average person would say discouragement. Well, that's not correct. You become discouraged because encouragement is lacking. Yeah. But if someone is not an encourager, what is the opposite of that? Now, this is for all of us. Specifically right now, we're speaking to marriages, but to all of us, you know, if you're a single adult, if you're at work and you need encouragement, there's no one around you, or you're maybe hanging around the wrong kind of friends at work or at school, this is what you need to look for, either in others or yourself, as what is considered to be the opposite of encouragement. Here's one of them: controlling. Controlling is the opposite of how many marriages are in trouble, not because he or she had a moral fault or failure, not because he or she is like angry, throwing pots and pans or whatever. You know, like the big stuff, like he or she misspent some money or they broke my trust. Controlling is one of the ways that's so subtle, but yet so devastating. It's like taking one brick out of the foundation at a time. And then one day you wake up and the foundation, the house crumbles, and you're like, what happened to the foundation? So often we don't even know when we're in controlling mode. Yeah. Like, we've all met those people that are like, I'm really a good people person, but not many people like to be around them. But yet they think they're a people person, because when you're around them, they just complain a lot, or they try to control a lot, and they don't even know they're doing it. Controlling is the opposite of encouragement. Nagging is the opposite of encouragement. Micromanaging. Micromanaging is different than controlling. Micromanaging is basically saying, do it my way, but do it just like this. Controlling is like you want to control what they say, where they go. You almost want to tell them, you need to be this for me. You need to do this for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're really trying to tell them how to. Demanding. The Bible never teaches us that we command or demand love. Like, we can't make somebody love us. These are things that are the opposite of encouragement. Constant criticism, right? If you're always nagging, criticizing, micromanaging, controlling your spouse or the situation, no wonder he or she is shut down or removed, or they're just not in the conversation. Because why? I just know you're going to control it. I just know if I say this, it's going to be criticized. Let me address this, the elephant in the room. Why do we nag, and how do we quit? Okay, so to understand this will help us understand encouragement. Okay, nagging is a passive-aggressive behavior that comes out of unbelief, an unmet need, feeling powerless, unheard and unsupported. Mm. So nagging comes out of this massive insecurity, but it presents itself as passive aggressive. Wow. So when someone is nagging, this is what they're actually feeling. The irony is that if they would learn to receive encouragement from the Lord, number one, and then number two, how to give encouragement, a lot of that nagging would have no place in their life. But they're thinking, if somebody would do all of these things for me, then I wouldn't be nagging. That's wrong. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, a good example of that, listen to this. Just listen to this example. King Solomon was supposed to be the wisest man on earth. Why did he marry 700 wives and 300 concubines? Like, that just brought a lot of trouble into his life. If he was so wise, why did he do that? Like, he actually writes, this was miserable to him. The book of Proverbs is filled with the complaining and the murmuring and the nagging that was received. Solomon wrote that it was better to sit on the roof of a house than to be with a nagging, of course, in this situation, wife. He said it's like crossing a scorching desert barefooted, Proverbs 21:19. He said it's like listening to a drippy faucet, Proverbs 27:15. He said all of that was better than living with a nagging wife. Now, let's just not isolate it to wife, because, you know, the Bible says this is the same for men. We have some men that all they do is just nitpick, nag, micromanage, demand, and criticize their wife. Remember, this goes both ways. Even though the scripture here, we're referencing Solomon, it goes both ways. So my point is, the opposite of encouragement is not discouragement. That discouragement is the result of not being encouraged. But the opposite is having this spirit. So what then is encouragement, right? Biblical encouragement isn't focused on complimenting someone's haircut or telling them how good their homemade food tastes. The kind of encouragement that is important that the scriptures speak of is specifically, listen, Christian encouragement. There's a difference. The average person in the world knows how to say, nice hair. I like that outfit. Where did you get your nails done? Where'd you buy your tires for the truck? You know what I mean? Like, that's what we call the pleasantries of life. That's the average. No. Listen to how the Bible defines encouragement. You have to get this. Encouragement points out evidence of God's grace in another person's life. Wow. To help them see that God is using them. Yeah. When's the last time we actually encouraged someone, not on how nice their haircut was, but I can actually see what... When's the last time you went to your husband and said, you have become a bit better at praying? I have noticed at home or at work, you are more patient. You are more kind. I have noticed you're taking more time. I can see how and where God is growing you in these areas. When is the last time you've said to your wife, like, I have never stopped to pay attention to your character. Like, you are a person of grace under fire. You are a mom that is of compassion when the house is just going chaotic. You know what I mean? Like, so often we only compliment, like, good job, way to hit the ball. You did great. But no, the Bible says that, remember, one of the reasons for encouragement, the power of encouragement, is so the heart doesn't become hardened to sin's deceitfulness. The antidote to that is speaking grace, blessing, into people's lives. So they have something to pull from to combat what comes inside of them as an attack. The New Testament reveals that in the life of the early church, now stop and think about this. This was in the life of the early church. They didn't have a building. They didn't have Bibles. They didn't have Right Now Media. They didn't have Google, if you will, to how do I know what to say when I'm in a time of difficulty? They didn't have that. Like, the church was just now starting. The persecution was intense. They were still having to hide out. They would actually draw symbols of like a fish. And remember, one person would draw half, the other person would draw the other half, just to know, like, are you safe to talk to? Goodness gracious. The Bible reveals to us that they saturated their conversation with scriptural language. The Bible says they were one in faith, they were one in hope, one in unity, one in joy, one in strength, one in fruitfulness, one in faithfulness, one in perseverance, and the certainty of Christ's return. Like, it wasn't just like, hey, that's a really good looking tunic. You know, hey, I love what you've done with the Greek Mediterranean style house. No, they were under persecution. Mm-hmm. And they advanced the gospel by speaking graceful words of encouragement constantly in people's lives. Does that not blow your mind what encouragement actually is? Like, when was the last time we spoke those type of words into somebody? Your wife, your husband, your children? Like, think about that for a minute. So you're probably asking the question, how do I do that? Like, that's so foreign to me. Like, I don't think I've understood that. How do you do that? Number one, you pray. You ask God, help me to know how to be an encourager. Because that's new. You're actually going to have to pray like, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Like, all this is new to me. I'm new in my faith. I'm new in my walk. I'm newly married. I'm new to this job. I'm new to this area, whatever. Like, I need you to show me how to speak your grace, your movement in people's lives. Most of us don't know how to do that. We literally have to pray. Here's one. I'm not sure we're in the timeline of this, but I think recently, or we're going to recently preach on Barnabas. Barnabas is considered the greatest encourager in the New Testament. He influenced 1/3 of the New Testament writings through Paul, John, or John Mark. By his encouragement, he literally was nicknamed. His nickname was the Son of Encouragement. I mean, think about that. So go back and study Barnabas. Like, what made him an encourager? There's so many. There's actually 5 prominent things that he did, and he wasn't just a spiritual cheerleader. Like, he knew like where the need was, or if he didn't, he knew how to ask about the need. He knew where to step in, to build a bridge, to repair relationships, to financially meet a need. Like, this man apparently was either a wealthy man or he was just a very generous man. The Bible says he gave all of his land to the church. Like, wow, just think about that. So study Barnabas. Here's another one. Make encouragement a daily discipline. Like, you actually may have to write down on a notes page. You may have to write down, like, today I need to be an encourager, you know? Like, you may have to physically write that down if it's not something that's natural to you. Well, where do these graceful moments come from? Your time in the Word, your time in prayer, your time in worship. Like, if you're not spending time in the Word, if you're not spending time in worship, if you're not being encouraged by those, predominantly those two things, worship and Word, you probably don't have a lot of water in the bucket to draw from to give to others. Remember, our study time and our worship time predominantly isn't just for us to fill our bucket. As God fills our bucket, we're supposed to sort of let that out. And then pray for God, not just to help you understand how to be it. That was number one. But pray, Lord, show me, like, give me opportunities to be an encourager so now I know what that looks like. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, use scripture, find scriptures, Google it. Google is a resource. Google how to be an encourager. Be specific. Like, here's some things. If a husband and wife, be specific in what you say. Instead of just saying the generalities, like, hope you have a good day, or you're a really good dad, or you're a really good wife. Try to pray and notice specific things that your husband or your wife does, like in how they discipline their children, or how they handle complex situations, or how you know, good they do in at work or with others. Like, be specific. People know specifically where they're either lacking or they know where they're strong. And when somebody calls that out, remember, I can see this evidence of God's grace in your life. And, you know, just the last one I would say is get started. Like, just do it. Just start being an encourager. Don't wait until you've become a master at it. Years ago, a famous preacher, his name was Vance Havner. He's written, he was known for his little wisdom statements. And in one of his books, he talks about how to be an encourager. And he was sharing with somebody, and they're like, I really don't know what this means. And Vance Havner asked him the age-old question. He's like, well, do you understand electricity? And the guy's like, somewhat. I just go over here to this light and flip the switch or turn the button and the bulb comes in. No, but can you explain how electricity works? The guy was like, well, I mean, currents. And he's like, but no, not really. And he goes, but you don't sit around in the dark until you understand it. The guy was like, oh. He goes, so don't sit around in the dark, if you will, and wait to come to Christ before you understand. Don't sit around in the dark until you fully understand encouragement. You understand it the more you use it. So just start. And if you don't know where to start, ask your husband. How can I encourage you? Ask your wife. Ask your kids. Ask those that you work with. There are people around you that are experiencing massive amounts of discouragement because we feel controlled, or we feel micromanaged, or we feel nagged, or we feel constantly criticized. Our world is full of those things. You and I can just step in and be an instrument of grace to show the grace of God in somebody else's life. I've done all the talking. Randy, you got any thoughts on this and experience on, you know, what maybe what you've seen or done in helping wives encourage their husbands, or just how you encourage others or yourself?
I think it's just, like you said, that daily process of starting out with him, but we have to make a conscious effort. There's so many things that we want to just come naturally, even when we don't feel like it, I guess. But I think sometimes the most encouraging people can be those people that are going through so much.
Oh, yeah.
And the well that they draw from is only from the Lord.
Right.
And just taking that opportunity to slow down and to see the moments of God at work. Right. Just like whenever I came into the office today, you know, somebody in the office was like, you know, hey, Raina, I had one of those appointments that was not really the appointment, meaning that God had something else to do with that encounter that she was on.
Wow.
And many times we miss those moments, even within our own home.
Right.
You know, the encounters in the kitchen, or the encounters, you know, as soon as we start the routine of getting ready to wind down for the night, you may casually just go, okay, you know, I'm going to go get on my phone, get on the couch, go on this, and then that's it, you know. Right. But taking that conscious effort, you know, just like you did last night. You came in very tired and drained, but you said, hey, do you want to run to just go get a coffee or go to Mount Dora or something? That made me tickled pink. But the coolest thing was we saw the most beautiful Florida sunset across the lake that, you know, just taking that time out to do something different than the regular routine. And even on the way, we were like, okay, we need to go by and do this instead. And it was like, nope, we're still going to go and do this. And it was like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minutes.
Yeah, what was funny?
Of pivot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 15 minutes of pivot changed so much.
Yeah, what's funny was we were like, let's go get like a dessert, only to find out earlier was closed. But it was perfect timing because the sun, and it was the most spectacular like colors we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, so just taking that time to pivot, but then also to stay in that moment is difficult. That negativity or whatever can come in and creep in a moment and steal those moments.
Right.
And that's what Satan would do, to come in and to get our mind off of maybe a blessing that had just occurred to kind of rob a joy, you know, and you're like, man, how did that happen? But it's us, you know, for us to take that big gulp or whatever and say, nope, not today.
Yep.
Going to continue to press in and press forward, and just realize that God is always at work and right. you're going to make it through this moment. You're going to make it through the discouragement. You're going right. to make it through with encouragement.
Right.
And some people have, you know, the discouragement record has been playing a long time.
Yeah.
So it may take a bit of time of encouragement.
That's a good word.
In order to push through to right. get to the other side.
That is such a good word. The discouragement record has been playing a long time. Just one thing may not be enough. Just keep pushing. That's a good word.
Yeah, you have to kind of keep on playing until the music starts again. And many times we're not willing to do that. And it may be a slow wind up,
yeah,
you
that
know,
is true.
And it doesn't sound quite like music whenever it starts out.
Right.
But the more that you press through, it'll come.
Right. That's such a good word. What a good day. Mm-hmm. Power of encouragement.
Yes.
So needed, isn't it?
Yes.
Take a spontaneous trip to go to an ice cream shop that's closed and then find a sunset.
Yes.
It'll be a good night.
Yes.
This was good.
For all of you listeners, Mount Dora is closed on Monday evenings.
Yes. A lot of it shuts down at 6, except for the restaurants. But anyway.
Yes.
The sunset was beautiful.
But still pressing through, even if you don't get what you thought you were going for.
Right.
Being able to pivot.
Right.
And just trust that a beautiful sunset is still
100% true.
On the horizon.
We love you guys. We do pray you're encouraged, both E-N, encourage, the biblical, but encourage, Joshua 1:9, from listening to this. Pray over you guys, blessings over you guys. We know God's doing a great work. Choose to see that and not, like Raina said, what you did not get. Try to see what God has given you right now. What a good day.
Yeah.
Be blessed. We love you guys.